Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Dr. Psych Mom Show. Today, I'm going to talk about why you should not try to make yourself more interesting for any reason except that you yourself want to do something. Certainly not for some other person on the internet to think that they want to date you or for your wife to be interested in you or your girlfriend or your boyfriend or anything like that. We'll talk about that as soon as I tell you to subscribe. Most recent subscriber episode was on the idea that porn, some people think porn does not exacerbate masturbation, and they are wrong. Porn can certainly make you want to masturbate more. Like, why should this even be something where, like, that isn't known? Obviously, if you smell food, don't you want to eat? But anyway, if you need a more in-depth explanation for that or a better way to frame it to your husband who spends multiple hours a day masturbating, then you should subscribe and listen to that. Okay, so this, as many of my topics do, comes from the secret group, and you should join the Facebook secret group. Blue subscribe button, etc., on the Facebook page. And somebody was saying they wanted more hobbies to make themselves more interesting to other people. No. Like on like dating apps and stuff. Like, because people say, oh, what do you do for fun? And they just parent and work. Like, you know, like me, like everyone, like every woman, certainly almost every woman, you know, and I talk about this. I have literally a podcast that says why not to tell your wife to get a hobby. Okay, so like there's two things that are so absurd. The first one is like thinking that men are saying that for any reason besides to make conversation. Like, unless somebody's such a fitness nut or like, I don't even know what, like a travel nut or like a nut, like just an obsessive person, then they do not care if their partner shares their specific hobby. Even if they're a fitness nut, they just want somebody who does fitness. They don't necessarily want somebody who does the specific type of fitness they do, unless they really are, you know, this is a core part of their personality. Like, you know, like a guy loves to do triathlons and he just really wants a woman who does triathlons. Well, I'll tell you, you can't just become a triathlete to attract that man. That, you know, that would have to be who you are. Otherwise, you know, you're not going to date for more than like, I don't know, 3 weeks before like that comes to light that you don't really like to do that. But anyway, guys don't care. They don't care if you have a hobby. Most women with kids don't have hobbies. They only have things that like double dip as productive, like exercise is like to keep yourself in good health. Plus, it's, I guess, a hobby. Reading is to relax or to learn things. And then I guess it's a hobby. Cooking, well, everybody has to eat, right? So like, you know, gotta cook, you know, whatever. I just don't know a lot of women who have like hobbies at the level that men do. Because as I always say, go back to the show Chimp Empire. The men play and they are competitive and they have fake fights and real fights. And the women take care of the kids and like basically hang out and groom each other. And that's literally what is like reality for mammals, especially mammals that are human-esque or human. So point being is that you should never be a woman who gets like a hobby. Because think about it. What's your hobby going to be? It's like a woman hobby. It's like the hobby I most recently liked was like a glass making class that I took with, not glass making, it was like glass jewelry making. And I learned how to cut the glass and then we made it into earrings. What do you think that's going to like attract a man? It's certainly not going to be like a man attractor to have like a jewelry making hobby. And that's the only kind of hobby that would be real. You know, like if I had more time and I wasn't doing shit like Dr. Psych Mom, then maybe I would do a whole bunch of glass jewelry making. Maybe that's what I'll do in my retirement. But either way, way. That is not like the sort of hobby that a man, like what would be the conversation? He would like ask about it. Then he'd be like, oh, that stuff looks nice. And then that would be that. So you do not ever need a hobby to attract a man. Now, on the other side, it's equally stupid. Like, like women want you to be in good shape. Sure. Not like a bodybuilder, but certainly somebody who could walk and, you know, like without losing their breath and whatever, be in like good shape, good health. But do you think they want to hear about your sports? Like, why? Why would they want to do that unless they share the same exact interest of sport? So if you play tennis and she plays tennis, y'all could talk about tennis. You could play tennis. That's good. But there's still no man or woman in the world, really, unless they're a top-level elite tennis player who's going to not date somebody because they don't play tennis. It could be a deal breaker to not be athletic at all. But then again, like, do you want to fake be athletic for like years of your life because you lied to somebody on your dating profile that you were athletic when you're really not athletic? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. The point is that nobody wants to hear about hobbies unless they share the exact same one because it's boring as shit. It's like hearing about people's dreams. So like no one ever wants to hear about that. Travel stories, people only pretend to like to hear unless they've traveled to the same place and they're like a fellow small talk aficionado and they're just relieved that the conversation is going no deeper than talking about what you each did in Rome, you know, I guess. I mean, I don't know. Like, maybe I'm the wrong person to ask about this. But, I mean, shit is, if you are somebody who listens to the Dr. Psych Mom show, it is obvious then that you, I mean, there is no video to this. There's nothing cool about it. It's literally me talking about my deep thoughts about human interactions. So it's probably a good bet that you're probably a deep thinker. Do you really, like, give a shit if somebody has a specific hobby or travel to a certain destination? Who cares? You know, a dream, in fact, would be more interesting. So at least that reflects their subconscious. But I guess where they travel could reflect their subconscious. But we all know that travel stories don't actually get that deep. Point being that guys in their 20s and women in their 30s and 40s seem to think that they need to be more interesting. You don't need to be more interesting. You yourself are interesting. If you struggle with not thinking you're interesting, that's a self-esteem issue. You should be in therapy and figure out why you think that. Probably you had a critical, dismissive parent who didn't think that you were that interesting, you know, and that's how you ended up thinking you're not that interesting. Because you, and I come back to this all the time because it's such a good point. Men in prison have girlfriends. Why? Do you think they're doing something exciting every day to talk about in their letters? No, they're in prison. So why do women talk to them? Why do women have prison husbands and prison boyfriends? Because they write loving emails and letters and phone calls where they ask all about the woman. They say how much they love her and they miss her and how hot she is in her latest picture or her latest visit. They're not doing anything all day, literally. Watch the show Prison Wives. I mean, it could be really an eye-opener. So guys may like to have hobbies. If they do have it, certainly don't think it makes you more interesting to a woman. And if you're a woman and you want a hobby, have it. Don't think it'll make you more interesting to a man. But if you don't have hobbies, then fuck it, right? Don't read books thinking they're going to make you more interesting to another person. Read a book that you like. You only have one life. You have a limited amount of time. I just read the book 4,000 Weeks. That's how many weeks we have on this planet. Do not do stuff just so that other people find you less abhorrent. Instead, think about why you have a deep-seated fear that other people do find you abhorrent, or at the very least, extremely boring. And that usually originates in family of origin and basically being told that you weren't that interesting implicitly by a parent not paying much attention to you, which then you may have interpreted because people don't say, oh, you know, at 5 years old, they don't say, oh, gee, mom has a limited emotional bandwidth, probably was due to her own emotional neglect as a child. I guess that's why she never asks much about my day. No, you just conclude that you must kind of be boring, you know, because there's like all the other kids whose moms are asking about their day and yours isn't. So whether or not you have the conscious thought about it at the time, you emerge into the world with the idea that you are less interesting and less lovable than other people. And that's what this hunt to be more interesting is it's really a hunt to be more lovable. The only reason you would think you need to be more lovable is if you didn't feel loved enough as a kid, right? And that wasn't your parents' fault. They did the best they could. Their life was probably much worse than yours when they were a kid, you know, and everybody tries to improve. But the point being is that doesn't really matter, the intentions, except in as much as it can help you understand and not be angry if that's your goal. But the point is that somewhere you learned that you were boring and that you needed to like have party tricks, you know, like juggle on a unicycle to make people think that you're interesting, and you don't. If you are dating or if you're trying to keep your wife interested, for Christ's sake, more hobbies. I mean, it's just so funny that and people do say it to me, like, I'm interesting. I don't know why my wife doesn't think I'm interesting, because like I have all these hobbies that other people think are interesting. First of all, you know, and they think they're interesting because the only people talk about hobbies with are the other people doing the hobbies. So yes, of course, a fellow, you know, golfer thinks that golf is an interesting topic. But the reason your wife may act like you're not interesting is because you married a woman that confirmed the way that you thought about the world, which is that you're not interesting. So you're a preoccupied attachment person. These are the only people that worry about being more interesting, getting more hobbies, whatever, or preoccupied attachment people who are drawn to avoidant people. And avoidant people find it very difficult to be close. And one way that is difficult for them is to kind of express enthusiasm and interest. So they're not expressing enthusiasm and interest. And instead of you thinking that's a them problem and not even particularly choosing them to marry in the first place, you know, you think it's a you problem. So for example, like if you had more confidence, so if you had more confidence, you would just talk about just shit that happened to you at work. But here's the thing. I have a podcast too, Why Did Dates Find You Boring? And the reason that people may actually find you boring has like nothing to do with the shit that you do during the day or don't do during the day. It's that you don't ever talk about feelings. You don't ever talk about what anything means to you. Like, remember that scene in Office Space where like he's, you know, he's been hypnotized already, and so he's more confident, and then they ask him, what do you do all day? And he's like, you know, I come in at like, you know, 9, and then I sit there for like 45 minutes and I do nothing and whatever. The way that he was talking made that a funny, like, you know, compelling story. And he was talking about doing nothing. And like, if you were to talk about that, like, man, my job is actually terrible right now. Honestly, it's extremely boring. I do nothing a great portion of the time, or stuff that it might as well be nothing, you know, and I really don't know what I'm going to do next. But I look at the ads and I can't really think of a next direction. But you know, this is well paying. But then again, I feel stifled. Even though you're not talking about anything you did during the day, women would be interested in that story. That's a man who's reflecting. That's a man who's thinking. That's a man who's vulnerable. Because a lot of times guys are like, what does this vulnerability really look like? Like, women hate when you share feelings. And I've dispelled that in multiple podcasts, how like that's completely wrong. But like, that's an example that has nothing to do with like feelings about relationships. But that's called vulnerability. Like, one thing, and this is going to be interesting to some of you, I think, is that women hate in therapy is a preoccupied woman with an avoidant man. And she said to him, did you ever think of going into a different line of work? And he says, no, never. Like, and then it's like enraging to her. It's like enraging to like a preoccupied person or a deeper thinker or an anxious person that there could be somebody who like literally never reflects on alternate life paths because they just do whatever, you know, like they pick a path and they just never care to look back and they can't imagine being wrong. They can't be wrong. So then they never even consider an option, you know, a different path. And some of you would be thinking, well, what's wrong with somebody who likes his career? It's not that. It's the idea that somebody cannot even envision a different life path because they are on a very deep level so insecure that would, by thinking of an alternate path, they would basically be saying that something's wrong with their current path and like they can't even do that because it's so hard for them to be vulnerable. So it's just kind of an interesting example of like the most boring possible person is a person who does not share any feelings, any vulnerability, any ambivalence, and just natters on about their hobbies and their, you know, what they literally did with their body. You know, this is what I talk about, is if it could be shown on videotape, it's not a good story. You know, what you have to do, and even like stories about literally getting like almost eaten by a bear. There's like these survivor type of stories that they do documentaries on. What do? They interview the person in between reenacting it with a bear or whatever. You know, they interview the person. What were you feeling right then? What were you feeling? That's the interesting part. That's what makes you be in the moment, empathize, be like in the head of somebody who's almost gotten eaten by a bear. You know, if you could videotape something like a hobby or like you, you know, engaging in a, you know, different career or moving your body from one place to another in a plane, if you could observe that on a videotape, it's not a good story. It's not going to make you connect with anybody. It's all the internal stuff, what you're thinking and feeling, which you don't really need to do a lot of stuff in order to have thoughts and feelings. But if you were raised in a very emotionally neglectful home where your emotions were never discussed, you should first of all read the book Running on Empty by Jonas Webb, J-O-N-I-C-E, Webb, W-E-B-B. And you should also think, I never learned how to talk about feelings, and that's something good to work on in therapy, you know, or coaching or anything, because then you can really access your feelings and then you can engage your partner. Even if they're avoidant, they're going to be engaged more in a story that has to do with your feelings than one where there are no feelings to be seen, which is like, it's like reading a fucking manual for your microwave to listen to a story like that, you know? So anyway, TLDR, this, hope you found this interesting overall, but do not go like amass extra hobbies or travel to different places unless you really want to. If you want to live your best life, truly live your best life. I think everybody should live their best life, down to the fact that I literally, that's what I named my group practice, Best Life Behavioral Health. I think everybody should try to live their best life. We have one life on this planet. It's very short. So if you want to travel, if you want a hobby, whatever, cool. But if you're doing it to impress somebody else, fuck that person. You got to think instead about why you think that your natural state is not impressive as is. And this always goes back to family of origin. So I hope this was an epiphany for at least some of you. And please do subscribe, and I will talk to y'all soon. Thanks so much, guys. Oh, and you will have heard this later than it actually happened, but I did in February get to 1 million listens of this podcast, which is awesome. So thanks so much, guys. Bye-bye.